Gracious Father, we give you thanks and praise for the Holy Gospel proclaimed before us in word and in drama. We thank you for those who worked hard to put this together. Bless us this day and in this Holy Week, and remind us that Jesus came, lived, and died so that we might never, ever have to be separated from you. Bless us. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Okay. Now Peter was sitting outside the courtyard. A servant girl came to him and said, "You were with Jesus the Galilean." But he denied it before all of them, saying, "I do not know what you're talking about." When he went out onto the porch, another servant girl saw him and said to the bystanders, This man was with Jesus." And again he denied it and took an oath, "I do not know the man." After a little while, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, "Certainly you are also one of them, for your accent betrays you." Then he began to curse, and he swore an oath, "I do not know the man." And at that moment, the cock crowed. Where's that cock? Where is it? Is he not in here? Crow! Thank you. Then Peter remembered what Jesus had said, "Before the cock crows, you will deny me 3 times. Wow. My brothers and sisters, 3 denials. "I do not know the man." 3 denials. "I tell you, I swear to you, I do not know the man." 3 denials. "I swear, I do not know that man." How many times have you denied Jesus? I'm not going to ask, how many times have you denied Jesus in your life? I'm not going to ask, how many times have you denied Jesus since you became a Christian? I'm not going to ask, how many times have you denied Jesus since last year? I'm not going to ask, how many times have you denied Jesus since last month? I'm not going to ask, how many times have you denied Jesus this week? I'm going to ask you, how many times have you denied Jesus today? Man, we're not even halfway through the day. And I'm going to tell you, once, twice, 3 times, maybe even more, in word and in deed, by what we have done, by what we have left undone, by what we have said, by what we have left unsaid, by how we have treated a brother or a sister in Christ, or how we have failed to treat a brother or sister in Christ, in some way, in some place, in some aspect of our living today, each and every one of us have denied our Lord. We get so hard on Peter. He denied our Savior 3 times. Each of us denies our Savior. Each of us says, "I do not know the man." When we are confronted with an opportunity to live as Jesus lived, to proclaim that gospel, and we fail. When we mistreat or fail to treat properly another person. When we fail to show the grace of Jesus to all whom we meet. We deny our Savior. In this week, this Holy Week, this time of final preparation to experience again and anew the death of Jesus Christ for our sins, let us take a few moments, just a few, to open our hearts and minds to what Jesus is saying to us today. In his passion, He was deserted by nearly every one of his disciples. Judas betrayed him. Peter denied him. Only the women, his mother, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, and John failed to run. Only those few gathered at the cross with him. Only a very few were there at the end. Who are you in this story? I've already suggested that each one of us could be Peter. But how many of us could be Judas? Take a look in your lives today. The story of the gospel is written in such a way that any time a person, a Christian, a believer reads it, they look at the table and they see their own hand resting on the table. When Jesus says his hand is resting on the table, he will betray me. Each of us, my friends, have been Judas. Each of us have run away. Each of us has fallen asleep when we should be praying for a sister or a brother. Like Peter, James, and John fell asleep. Each of us have jumped up and tried to do what we thought was the right thing, and it was the very wrong thing, like Peter did when he chopped off Malchus's ear. Each of us has been like one of the disciples, arguing at the table, disagreeing, denying the Savior, and running away. In this season, let us dedicate our hearts to being like Mary, to being like John, and not running from the cross today. We Protestants, we want to get through Maundy Thursday and Good Friday and the Passion story. We want to get through it. We want to get it over with so that we can get to resurrection and Easter Sunday morning. But my brothers and sisters, we cannot get to the resurrection. We cannot get to Easter Sunday. We cannot get to eternal life without going through the cross. We cannot get to eternal life. We cannot get to the resurrection without first going through the suffering and death of our Savior and his sacrifice on our account in our place for us. We cannot approach the empty tomb without first standing, without first kneeling at the foot of the cross. Until we do that, until we see him hanging on the cross before us, bleeding and dying for us, for our sins and our sicknesses, for all that separates us from the Father, until we see him on the cross, we will never see him in his resurrection. Until we understand the price he paid, until we understand that we put him there, we will never comprehend, and we will never receive the grace of the resurrection. I got into an argument this week with another Christian who was pointing out that the Jews turned Jesus over to the Romans, and therefore they were more guilty than the Romans in the crucifixion of Jesus. And I said, that whole argument misses the point. Yes, the Jewish leadership turned Jesus over. Yes, the Romans crucified him. But my friends, we are the crowd. And we cry out for Barabbas. And we cry out, crucify him, with our every sin, with our every lustful thought, with our every desire that is not in accord with God's will for us. We cry out, crucify him. The Jews may have turned him over. The Romans may have done the deed. But we, my friends, drove the nails. We, my friends, crucified the King of creation in our every sin. That is the realization that Lent and Holy Week are designed to open up in our hearts. The understanding Not that Jews crucified Jesus, not that Romans crucified Jesus, but that you and I, we crucified Jesus. And until we see that, until we recognize it, until we accept the fact that he hangs on the tree in our place, until we come to that realization, my brothers and sisters, we can just forget about Easter. It won't do us any good. This week, I encourage us to open our hearts and minds, to open our spirits, to allowing the Holy Spirit himself to speak to, into us and through us about the wonderful gift of forgiveness Jesus gives, about the calling he has for us to live not as Peter, James, and John, and Judas, and the other disciples, but rather as Mary and John, the beloved disciple. Let us truly, my friends, kneel at the cross, see our role in his death, and then we can celebrate and proclaim next Sunday morning, he is risen, the Lord is risen indeed, hallelujah. My brothers and sisters, the Passion. I was asked just recently, why is it called the Passion? I thought Passion was desiring something, having great lust or great love for another. We have Shakespeare to thank for that, friends. He used the word Passion, which in the Middle English had the connotation or meaning of a great emotional urge or need or a great difficult pain. And he said, love is like a great deep passion. And it has taken on that meaning to this day, passionate love. But before Shakespeare, it meant an emotional connection with death, specifically the death of Jesus. This week, let us truly have a passion in our hearts. A passion for the Passion of Christ. A passion to receive anew the grace he wishes to give us from the cross. A passion to receive the forgiveness and eternal life that he offers us. And yes, indeed, a passion to see an empty tomb and a risen Savior on Easter morning. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.